for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 7th, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on mental illness and the effects of lack of discipline.
Amen. All right, well, I believe we might be ready to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Jerry's going to have to leave after this service, so everybody listen up. Sister Jerry's going to share this morning. Sister Jerry McGee from Lindale, Texas. Our friend, she helped with the dishes last night.
Oh, big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
No, wasn't.
Others got to go down to the baptism.
I hope you'll get to sit down for a while.
Ron and I are going back up to the
office.
Oh,
good.
We're going to sit down.
Good, just rest. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Patty, I want to say, and I mean this with all my heart, you're one of the easiest people to love of any person I just about have ever known. So don't listen to that. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you a person that wants to hear pleasant words, cute little stories, about my grandkids and my family and all that? The Lord's trying to teach me not to do that. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. I bless your children that you'll dig out, excavate, and irrigate our ears. Give us ears to hear. Father, I bless your children with a repentant heart, with a conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord, and a spirit of repentance, Lord, to be poured out upon all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless your children and myself that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Father, bless us with the truth that makes us free. Lord, we ask you to bless us with your presence, and we thank you, Lord, that you're here in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us all a hunger and thirst for your word, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name. And Father, thank you that I've been raised to sit with Christ. All of us have been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And Father, from our position in the heavenly places, we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia power that you've given us in the name of Jesus to bind and loose. And Lord, we take the keys that you've given us to the kingdom of heaven, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this camp, against Glenn, against Patty, Kevin, Linda, Rhonda, Rick, Maury, against Tom and Diane, against Don and Ada, against every worker at this camp, against Glenn, against each person that's here, against the saints all over this earth. We break your power. We say God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And we bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Father, we loose your holy angels into this camp, into this meeting. And Father, if you don't anoint these words, it's just a bunch of nothing. And Lord, I might as well go home, and they might as well go home. Father, let it be something that will transform all of our lives. Lord, like Tom, I want my life changed. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give us a desire to press on and to overcome the things that have drug us down and held us down. In Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. You know, sometimes we are the kind of people that want to hear pleasant words. We want our ears tickled because we can listen to ear-tickling messages forever and they will not transform our lives. And so ask God to give you for a love of the Word of God. The lack of the Word of God in the church today is exactly why the church is in the position that it's in today. It is sick because the word sin is rarely, if ever, mentioned in the church today. And the Word of God is rarely used today in the church. Now, there's something wrong with that picture when Jesus and the prophets, true prophets, always preached against sin. And sin is the root to all of your problems and mine. And if I, as a minister, Carla and I were talking about this. As a minister of the gospel, it may sound harsh, it may sound mean. But as a minister of the gospel, if I don't tell you about your sin, I might as well quit the ministry. I might as well go home because I'm wasting your time and I'm wasting my time. And it might sound harsh and it might sound like, oh my goodness, she's just trying to be mean. No, it takes a greater love to tell people what they need to hear versus what they want to hear. And can I tell you that God will change your life if you get rid of the junk and if I get rid of the junk and the sin in my life. And today I want to talk to you about God's discipline, the effects of the lack of discipline. And I want to apply it two ways. I want you to think about how you grew up, and I want you to think about how you raised your children. You know, because of the sins of the forefathers, children are living in mental illness and insanity. And one of the major repercussions of the lack of discipline is mental disorders. And I looked on my internet this morning because the data I had was outdated. But as in the year 2010, one in every four Americans 18 and over suffer from mental problems. And you know, some of the symptoms is sadness, hopelessness, nervousness, restlessness, hyperactivity, ADHD, which is just restlessness. It's just a demon in kids and in adults. Helplessness, dysfunction. All of these are rooted in sin and due to the lack of discipline and is the major root to the lack of discipline of how you grow up and how you teach your children. You know, these statistics are 18 and over. I know I have had teachers tell me that have taught the first and second and third grade that maybe one or two of the kids in their whole class does not exhibit some form of mental problems. And it's due to the dysfunction in the family coming down generationally. Bill Gothard says, what a parent excuses in moderation, a child will abuse in excess. So if I take a little alcohol, then I'm opening my kid up to do a lot of it. If I take a few drugs, what I'm doing is opening my children and the following descendants into that. And you say, well, you know, I didn't grow up with an alcoholic family, but you know what? Your dad and mom might have done those things before they got saved. And whatever you do as a parent, it sets in motion forces that cause you to reap what you've sown. You know, many times parents say, well, you know, a man told me the other day, years ago, he said, you know, my daughter says she's sleeping around, she's on drugs, she won't pay her bills, she lies. I said, did you ever do that? He said, oh, dear God, she's just like me. And you know what? If you want your children to change, you better change and you better deal with all the things that you did even before you became a Christian, because even before you became a Christian, you are still reaping what you sowed. Look at your children and you see something you don't like, ask God, did you do it? I told one lady this, and I shared this to some of you. I told another lady, she said, pray for my daughter. She's fixing to marry a Hindu, and she's a Christian. I said, did you ever do anything like that? And she went, no. She said, oh, dear God. She said, I went to the University of Mexico, and I was in love with a bullfighter, and I was going to chunk Christianity, chunk my mother and daddy, and chunk America. And so I went home and I told her I would pray for her daughter, and I got home and I forgot the daughter's name. So I called the lady that hosted the seminar. I said, what was that lady's daughter's name? She said, you don't have to pray for her. I said, the daughter's already repented. You see, when the mother repented, she broke that reaping cycle, and in the spirit realm, it freed her child. And so a lot of times we're waiting. And, you know, even in a marriage, there may be one parent that's dealing with their stuff and the other one who isn't. But you know what? Even if that's your parent, now that you're the age of accountability, you can start over and you can start breaking those things. The way we come under God's discipline is to give our life up totally, the mess and all, control of our life to the Lord. Just give up. He's the potter, you're the clay. The clay rests on the potter's wheel. All the clay does is yield. The potter takes out the mess. If you think you're too bad, I used to think, I got to do all of this stuff before I can be good enough. But as God takes you just like you are, and He'll take the mess out. And so, you know, if mental disorders in adults over the 18 from 18 and up is 1 in 4 in America, then the children, I would say under 5 years old, under 10 years old, under the age of 18, are in worse shape than, I think the statistics are higher. I've had teachers tell me in a whole classroom, when I have teacher-parent conferences, maybe out of the whole class, only 2 parents show up. The sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the 3rd and 4th generation. I thought this was interesting. This was according to the National Institute of Mental Health, that there are 4 times as many men as women that die by suicide. 90% of people who kill themselves have a diagnosable mental disorder. The highest suicide rate is among white men around about 85 years and older. And then women 2 to 3 times threaten to kill themselves more than men. And some of the mental problems, schizophrenia, anxiety disorders, panic disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, post-traumatic stress disorders, social phobias, agoraphobia, eating disorders, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, autism, personality disorders, antisocial personality disorders, avoidance personality disorders, borderline personality disorders. You know, God wants us to live in perfect peace. Did you know that you don't have to live in dysfunction? Did you know that you can live in perfect peace, the peace that passeth all understanding? You know why? Sometimes it is a process to walk out of some stuff. But if you take one step in the right direction, God will keep on promoting you. You do the first thing He tells you to do, and then He'll tell you to do the second thing. Sometimes we look at the multiple trillions of things that are wrong with us, and we look at the end of the picture and think, oh dear God, I'm hopeless. No, you're not. God takes your clay and He takes the junk out when you give up control of your life. Just give up. If you were like me, you were taught the Lord helped those that helped themselves. And I felt guilty. I couldn't help myself. I was addicted to diet pills from the time I was 13 or 14 years old. My mother took me to the doctor because I had a weight problem. And he got me addicted to legal drugs, diet pills. And I was addicted to diet pills until 1969. So probably 13, when I was almost 30 years old, God set me free. And you know, I had this fear, if I let go, I'll just sleep. I don't have no energy. And I finally had to say, Lord, if I sleep the rest of my life and have no energy, here I am. And I laid down on the couch, getting ready to get sleepy. And you know what? The Lord set me free, and my blood pressure was 85 over 60. I can remember trying to carry a basket of clothes to wash up the stairs and down the stairs. And I had to keep confessing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was in 1969. God set me free. You see, I had a fear of being fat, a fear of being tired. See, fear is rooted in idolatry. For you to get delivered, you have to be willing to whatever. Lord, here I am. I'm your problem from now on if nothing happens. But God will meet you and He will set you free. Mental illness is a curse, and that it's afflicting America today because of the lack of discipline in our lives. Because we grew up without discipline. and we haven't disciplined our children. Now, discipline, you know, when we think of discipline, we think, boy, a spanking. That's just the one negative side of discipline. The positive side of discipline is love, care, nurture, guidance, leadership, hugs, kisses, affirmation, love, protection, provision. A parent that truly disciplines their child, they're like a cheerleader. If you've watched these ice skaters, these coaches that do these ice skaters, they critique everything they do. And they know everything that goes on with the child. They don't just put them in a room and let them watch TV. Can I tell you that television, Satan has just about destroyed America through television, through toys, video games that are demonically inspired. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, we've been talking about God raising up an army and about how we have to fight and do spiritual warfare. Because of TV, America has raised a bunch of wimps because most of them are latchkey kids, working parents to have to go and leave their kids and not discipline them and give them the love and nurture. You know, Nancy has talked about being left, and of course I grew up, my mother and daddy always loved me, but that's all they did was work. They were gone all the time. But they never neglected me. They always gave me, other than being there, they were always there to meet my needs. They were always there to answer my problems. They were always there to tell me the right way. And everybody, in varying degrees, has grown up in a dysfunctional home. That's dysfunctional for a mother to work all the time and for a daddy to work all the time. And some mothers have to work because they have no means of support. So this is not a condemning message, okay? But God wants to correct all the areas of our distress. You know, He wants to correct. He doesn't want us to live in anguish and depression and sadness. And what's really sad is today in the church, because repentance is not taught. And because repentance is not taught, churches have psychiatric counselors. And then if 1 in 4 Americans has been diagnosed, and that's not counting the ones that haven't been diagnosed, 1 in 4 have been diagnosable as having mental problems. Can I tell you that 1 in 4 is on psychiatric medicine? Many, many people in America are drawing SSI because they are mentally incapable to function in this world. A girl was sent to our ministry when she was 18 years old, a little rich kid. Her mother carries her bags in there. She didn't carry them. Her mother carried them. Just spoiled. Temper tantrums. You know, you let a kid have a temper tantrum, and you know what? You're just letting him get full of demons. I got tickled at Terry Henley once. We were talking at lunch, and he said, my daddy and mother wouldn't let us have ADHD. They beat it out of us. But there's a negative side of discipline, and not beating, child abuse. I asked a little girl once at my seminar, I said, did your mother and daddy discipline you? And the little girl said, oh boy, wow, did she? She said, she slammed me up against the bathroom wall. That's not discipline, that's child abuse. There's, you know, to discipline a child clears the air. It takes away their guilt. I grew up, my mother, the only discipline I got from her was her to use her mouth on me. I didn't grow up with discipline, except my dad did guide me and instruct me, and I had the positive side of discipline: love, care, nurture, protection, hugs, kisses, I love you, provision. I had that positive side, but I didn't have much of the rod. My daddy spanked me 4 times, and I remember all 4. I didn't need another one because it was a memorial occasion, a memorable occasion. But God wants us to live in peace. Okay, I want us to look at Deuteronomy 28:34, and I want you to see that mental illness is a curse. 28:34. Well, let's read 15 first because it tells you why. And it's rooted in rebellion against God and His Word. You think that might be why the devil's leaving the world? He's working in people's lives for the church. There's no word and there's no repentance. 15. But it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And there's about 50 some odd curses. Okay, in verse 34 it says, and it shall come about, and you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. Now that word madness, I'm going to read some of the definitions of madness. Basically, it's all mental problems. It's anger, too. This is from the American Heritage Dictionary. It could be marked by anger, indignant, choleric, infuriated, livid, hallucinatory, delusional, psychotic, psychosis, suffering from psychosis, outraged, rabid, psychoneurotic, schizoid, schizophrenia, lacking in practicality, logic, or sense, unthinking, fallacious, containing or based on a fallacy, tending to mislead, deceptive, illogical, irrational, implausible, clouded, cloudy, muddled, without rhyme or reason, marked by signs of mental instability or illness, disturbed, irrational, unbalanced, neurotic, touched, non-compost, mentis, not of sound mind and hence not legally responsible, mentally incompetent, that's what that means, sick, deranged, unhinged, unsound, unstable, and demented, mentally ill, insane, suffering from dementia, insane, mad, crazy, committable, psychotic, paranoid, paranoic, raving, lunatic, schizoid, schizophrenia, skizzy, nutty, loopy, batty, daft, marked by savage intensity, ferocious, fierce, fiery, mad, vicious, violent, wild, furious, impassioned, vehement, of or exhibiting hydrophobia, hydrophobic, mad, rabid, foaming. It also means the quality or condition of being insane or insanity. It means a mental disorder impairing the capacity to function adequately, derangement, insanity, lunacy, madness, mania, obsessive behavior. Those are some of the definitions of madness. And you see, it's a curse. And you know what? You can't treat a curse with a psychiatric drug. Actually, one of the side effects of these psychiatric medications is suicide. I know people that have killed themselves because they've taken psychiatric drugs. It gave them a courage to kill himself. People that have killed their children because of the psychiatric drugs. The lady that drowned her kids in Houston, that was a good example of somebody that was under psychiatric care and drowned all of her children. But you know what? You never hear that on the news, that it was because of the drugs. Because the drug companies are owned by the same company that owns the same people that own the news media, the One World Order, the Illuminati. That's right. They own it all. And so that's why you don't ever hear. Now, if you're a Christian trying to trust the Lord, you might go to jail for that. But you know what encourages me? Nothing can happen to a surrendered Christian unless God allows it. So we need to surrender. Amen? Okay, and then 28:28 says, the Lord will smite you with madness, and we just read the definition of that, and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart, and you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually. And that's a curse. You know, this is a curse. And I've been looking for the root to this for years, and I found many, many roots. I know a lot of stuff about eyes, and I'm going to keep on till I leave this earth. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 1. So you see that mental problems is a curse. Now go to Isaiah chapter 1, and I want you to see if disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments is the root of it. That's rebellion. And it's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint means to be sick of mind. And that word sickness is not speaking of a physical sickness, but it's a picture of a person that's been flogged in the head. Last night, Carla shared about what happens when you are, like in the Old Testament, if a child was rebellious. And that was so good, Carla, because I feel like not only the kids needed to hear that, I feel like there was a lot of adults that didn't even know that themselves, because they hadn't been trained up in the way that they should go. But she shared that they would take a child outside to the elders of the church and they would stone them to death if they were a drunk or if they were a glutton or if they were rebellious. Well, let me tell you what happens now in the spiritual realm. This is a picture of Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God abides under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. That's a picture of submission to His Lordship under the shadow of the Almighty. I step out here and guess who flogs me in the head? The demons. I'm out here in Satan's realm. So the way I get stoned to death now under the new covenant is God lets the demons loose on me. And recently I read it. I don't know if I can find it. In Psalms, I believe it's in Psalm 17 where it says the enemy is the sword of the Lord. Everything was made by God and for God, and everything that was made by Him and for Him. Another place says that He's created the smith to blow the coals. Proverbs 17:11 says that a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. You know why you have a demon problem? You've got a sin problem, an idolatry problem, and that's the same thing with me. That's where all of my problems are rooted in sin. And everything I go through, God's trying to show me another level, something else I need to peel off me like an onion. And so when I'm submitted to the Lord, I'm safe in His refuge. He will deliver me from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. There's a scripture in Psalms 41:10 that says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. I hear all these things, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. You might have demons, but it's not because, it's because of sin that you have demons. And if you don't deal with sin, you'll never get healed, you won't be saved, and you'll never be delivered. And so when I get out here, it's where the arrow flies by day, out here. But because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. Well, I got a plague in my dwelling. Well, is it because God's word's not true? No, it's because in some area I'm out here and not here. And so God wants me to deal with my sin. And the answers to all your problems is not out there in the world putting a Band-Aid on your spiritual problem. The answer is to seek God with all your heart. God will show you the answers to your every problem. I shared, I think, yesterday, if I could say one thing to help you, before I stood up here, I said, Lord, what can I share that will change their lives? I want my life changed. That's the purpose of hearing the gospel, is to get your life changed. And if you leave the same way you came, you didn't get your life changed. And I want my life changed. And I forgot what I was going to say, but Lord, if it was him. Yeah, one thing is that when you have a problem, ask God to show you why you have it. And deal with your sin and forgive. Like last night, telling the children, don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give a foothold to the enemy. Before you go to sleep, you say, I forgive whoever has hurt you that day. And ask God to show you why you're going through what you're going through, because He's got a lesson to teach you in everything you go through. I'm going to see if I can find this scripture. It was in another Bible, so I don't know. But anyway, it says that He... Well, let me just look right real quick. Anyway, I don't want to take time to look for it, but go back to Isaiah 1. You know, as you line your life, many of you have come here for deliverance. As you line your life up with the Word of God, God will set you free. I used to attend a Milton Green. I don't know how many of you have heard of Milton Green. He was the man that kissed the demons out of James Robinson. He would read the word and he'd say, you know, we're talking about disobedience. He'd say, hedge down, sick 'em. You see, when I'm submitted, the hedge is up. I get in rebellion, hedge down, sick 'em. Is God sending demons on me? No. I'm stepping out of the realm of light into the dark, into darkness. I'm stepping out in it myself where the arrows are flying. And so the devil didn't make you do it. He just cooperated with you. And God let him. Because you can choose freedom, peace, deliverance, or you can choose rebellion and be stoned to death by the demons. You still get stoned in the new covenant. But now demons do it. They carry off the curses. Okay, Isaiah 1. It says, the whole head is sick. Where are you going to continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head. There's nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds. Not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. You said, well, you know, I don't have bruises and welts and raw wounds, but in the spirit realm you do. Nor softened with oil. Your land, and this is your land, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says your building, your house, and your field. It says your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Jesus told the disciples, he said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Disciples, you're the light of the world. You know, disciples comes from the word disciplined ones. And you know, there's a lot of doctrines out there, but I believe the word of God teaches that only disciples get to heaven. Hello. You know what? Tom and I were talking about this. You know, when you get, if you're not willing to pursue God on a daily basis, you're wasting your time with deliverance. I mean, it's got to be an ongoing thing. My son said, Mom, why do you call it deliverance? Why don't you just call it repentance? Because when people repent, demons leave. And if you've truly been born again, can I tell you, God has done such a work in your heart that you want to keep on keeping on with God. It says your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers, that's demons, are devouring them. In your presence, right before your eyes. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion, that's the church member, is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. You know, a person with mental illness is besieged. God says you're either going to overcome or you're going to get overcome. And then look at the generational implications if you go to verse 2. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks, sons I've reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, and Israel does not know. That's the church does not know. My people, it's not saying the heathen, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighted down with iniquity. That's the sins of the forefathers, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. And then it says, where will you continue in your rebellion and be stricken again? Your whole head is sick, even to the from the bottom of your head, from the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. And there's no soundness in it, no one to press you out, bandage you, soften you with oil. You know, Colossians 2:9 says, see to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. You're actually taken captive by the philosophies of the world. And the Word of God has the answer to all of your problems and all of my problems. Oh, thank you. Bless you. Okay, now if you would you please go to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. For even though they knew God, so it's talking about a people that know God, right? They did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. You know, I could share, not everybody that exchanges the truth of God for a lie right off the bat goes down into degradation. But I know people that once served God, or once were trying to serve God, and because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they got into all kind of sexual sin. We've been ministering to people here this weekend that if I name the minister, you probably, most of you wouldn't know him. Has a church. They're drinking wine in the church now, and the pastor is into sexual sin, and so is the congregation. It's a cult now. I have a family member that was a pastor's wife. She left her husband, got into lesbianism. Praise God, she's out of it now. She has 5 kids. And I believe God's saving her right now. And I ask you, God, right now, to come upon her and save her with your mighty power. I bless her with salvation. I bless her eyes to be open in the name of Jesus. In verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, that means they once acknowledged Him, God gave them over to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind. There is Alzheimer's right there. There's mental disorders. There's dementia right there. You know what? If you and I ever come to the place where we don't constantly be dealing with our sin and pursuing God with our whole heart, can I tell you, we go backwards and we'll be given over to a depraved mind. We have to get old, but we do not have to be mentally deranged. You know, my dad was almost 94 years old, and because he was on no medication, he had a sound mind. So many old people, if you go in a nursing home, this is not a criticism, but they medicate them so they can handle them. You know, if I dope you up, you're no problem to me. Last time I was in a nursing home teaching, I'm telling you, the people were sitting like this. I thought, dear God, most old people don't even know what town they're in because of the drugs. Let me tell you, deal with it now. We've all had addictions in some shape or form or fashion. Maybe not diet pills, maybe something else. God wants to set you free. And if you don't let Him set you free, guess what? You're putting your children in bondage. That was one of the things that brought me to repentance and brought me to the Lord. Is when I had a 2-year-old son, I wanted the very best for that son. And for that son to have the very best, then I needed to work on being a best mama. And I tell you, you know, I look back and I see so many mistakes I made. My son said, "Oh, Mom, when I apologize, you did the best you knew how." And I did. And your mom and dad did the best they know how. But you know, the generations of sin and stuff, we've been born with so much stuff, so much dysfunction, so much lack of discipline. And you know what? If I've got sin in my life, I can't discipline you. Because if my conscience is not clear, I don't have confidence in God. I see people, I've had people, you know, when I had a ministry farm, I'd have people call me and say, "Well, I have a 40-year-old son, and he's got bipolar." I say, "Well, did you discipline him?" "Well, I'm sorry to say I didn't." And because of guilt, they enable. They keep on financing their sin. And the Lord showed me recently, mercy becomes rebellion against God. It becomes dysfunctional. It becomes out of God's order when I help people in their sin. That is not mercy. That's sin against God, because I'm trying to be their Savior. Instead of letting God be their Savior and letting them suffer the repercussions of their wrong choices. Did you know that discipline will actually heal mental disorders? I know people, they're here at this meeting, that when I first met them 10 years ago or longer, they were on so many drugs that they didn't know what town they were in. And because they, I'm not taking any credit for it, because they have chosen to come under God's discipline, can I tell you today, they're not mentally disarranged. But discipline will heal. And discipline is not just the spanking. Discipline has one negative side, and that's the rod if you don't obey. But it has thousands of positive sides: love, care, nurture, protection, provision, hug, kisses, leadership, guidance. And so children that grow up without that have all kinds of mental disorders, depression. You know, if I don't like myself, my hypothalamus gland tells all of my glands, pituitary, my pineal gland, my adrenal glands, all the glands in my body, my thyroid gland, all it tells my glands to not produce the proper amount of chemicals, hormones, neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine that my body needs to feel good about myself. And when I'm not disciplined, I know the days that I just, after sometimes in the past, I'm not going to do this when I go home, but sometimes when you travel, you get home and you're just tired that day and you just seem like you just did a, I don't know, you don't get much accomplished. And I personally don't like those days. But the days that I can go home and work and do the things I need to do, I like myself. And so when you like yourself, your body produces the proper amount of chemicals, hormones, neurotransmitters, endorphins, dopamine, serotonin that your body needs to feel good about yourself. But when you don't feel good about yourself and you're depressed, then your body puts out under, and that's why they give people serotonin enhancers. Hard work will increase your serotonin, right? I know that this particular girl I was talking about earlier, it says she said, just sometimes it's like my feet are just stuck to the ground and I can't move. And she never had to do anything in her whole life. She gets an allowance, never had to work a day in her life, never had to be responsible. And you know what the Lord showed me? It says the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. Every way they try to go, they get stopped. Because they're lazy, sluggard, slothful. Okay, go to Proverbs 15:32. It says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. You see, that's where self-hatred comes in. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. Why is it that if I love my soul, if I love discipline? Because it's only through God's discipline that I become an overcomer. It's only as I yield to the potter, I'm coming under his discipline. But God, I got so much junk in my life. I'm just so bad. My clay's full of junk. And he says, you know, I knew you couldn't do it yourself. Just give up. I'll take the trash out of your junk. I'll make you the person I created you to be. But if you're off the potter's wheel, the potter can't do the work till you yield to him. You may have to go through a lot of bad circumstances before it happens, but it says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. That means throws off, rejects, means you don't have it or you don't want it. Despises himself means to reject, despise. It means contemn, which means despise, to consider and treat yourself as mean and despicable. To scorn, to slight, to neglect, to treat as unworthy. It means, despise means to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of, to abhor. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. If you abide in, it says in 1 John, he who abides in me has come to know the love that I have for him. And so I know God's love when I come under God's discipline.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.